it is certainly a pleasure to share with you all today. I have a warm spot in my heart for NBC because I tell folks that that is what helped to shape me into the person I am today, helped to shape my character, because going to the Bible college right out of high school, you know, I was still in those early years of forming who I was going to be. And NBC really helped to shape that a lot. Professor Bowman, Atik, I just think of all the ones that were here that were at the college at that time. And I just count it a privilege to be a part of the NBC family. You mentioned something about our neighborhood. And I tell people, yes, I am in a very challenging, low socioeconomic neighborhood, but this is where God put our church. And this is where God called me to be. And what I've learned years ago, yes, I've had offers at other really nice churches in great neighborhoods. But I tell people all the time, the safest place in the whole wide world is in the will of God. Stay in the will of God and you'll be successful. It doesn't matter what, just stay in the will of God. And when God put me here, he hasn't told me to move, so I'm not going anywhere. And so I thank God for that. I'm going to share with you a scripture, a text I'm sure that you all are very familiar with. And out of 1 Chronicles chapter 4, I, along with many of you, read that little book. Oh, I think it was by a gentleman, Wilkerson, years ago, The Prayer of Jabez. And 1 Chronicles 4, 9 and 10, Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. His mother had him named Jabez, saying, I gave birth to him in pain. Jabez cried out to the God of Israel, oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain. And God granted his request. I preach Sunday. We are on YouTube every Sunday at 10:30. I preach Sunday about Jabez. And I would just simply just share with you a few moments about praying with Jabez. You know, this is one of my favorite texts that, as I indicated, I read years ago. I find it ironic that the name Jabez, which means pain, his mother bore him in pain, because Jabez came from the line of Judah, descended from the tribe of Judah. And if you know anything about that tribe, I think Judah was the fourth son of Jacob's wife, Leah, when God opened her womb and she had four children. And with that last child, it says that she named him Judah, which means praise. And after she got her praise, she stopped having children. So although his name means pain, he comes from the line of praise. And I think I talked Sunday about the fact that, you know, there is no praise without pain. There is no praise without pain. And I normally talk from 3 points. I encourage them to take notes. And I gave them 3 words. I said, if you don't remember anything else, remember these 3 words. Sanctify, stretch, and shield. Sanctify, stretch, and seal. Jabez cried out to the God of Israel, oh, that you would bless me. And I looked up that word, and bless, which comes from a Hebrew word, barak, which means to give thanks, to bless, to give praise. Here in this context, to impart supernatural favor. God, give me supernatural favor. But also, in doing further research on it, it also means to sanctify. And we Nazarenes, when I think about sanctify, I learned early on to set apart. So what Jabez really is praying here, he's asking God to do a number of things for him. First of all, God, bless me. I praise you. I thank you. I need your favor. But also, I need you to sanctify me, set me apart for work that is greater than myself, something that will outlast me, something that will be here when I'm long gone. Set me apart. But also, he's praying, purify me. When I think about sanctify, I think about purify. I think about that New Testament word, hagiazo, which is translated also holiness. that God, I want you to bless me, to sanctify me, to set me apart, and let me do something so great and so awesome that will bring glory and honor to your name. I thank God for that. I thank God over the course of my ministry. One of the things that I tell people when they ask, well, why do you stay in the neighborhood you're in? Why do you choose to be in a neighborhood where just yesterday, just Sunday, or while we were having service, somebody across the street in the alley overdosed and they were dying. They ran over to our church, and I have a security team on staff each week. They're volunteer. And then I have nurses who are volunteer each week. So one of my security team members and my nursing person ran over there, and they worked on this person who they thought was dead. And they were able to administer medical assistance to him. And to make a long story short, he lived. He had taken a shot of, I believe, crack cocaine. And somehow somebody, what they do a lot of times is they cut in other drugs and they added fentanyl to it. And immediately he had a reaction and they thought he died. Well, because of the intervention from our parishioners, that person lived. And I tell people, it's stories like that, that I know that we are making a difference. We are where God wants us to be, and we are making a difference. And sanctification to me, when we talk about being set apart, when we talk about being used for God for a special purpose, and you know, before you can really minister to people, you have to show people you love them. You have to show them that you care about them. And we reach out in this neighborhood and we let them know that we are here. We love you. We care about you. We've operated a food pantry. We run a daycare. And I tell people that we offer affordable daycare in a Christ-centered environment where you have people who are underemployed, who are barely able to make it, but they are able to put their child in a safe environment where they're going to get some teaching, they're going to get training, and we're going to care for them as if we were caring for our own children. And so I think about all those things. And so when Jabez prayed, you know, oh, that you would bless me, oh, that you would sanctify me, oh, that you would set me apart, oh, that you would give me supernatural favor, you know, and I shudder when I hear people talk from this text and they talk about as if, you know, God is walking around like the tooth fairy or whatever, and you go just handing out goodies and so forth. I said, Jabez is asking God to do something for him so that he can in turn do something great for God. And but also when I look at this text, it reminds me of grace. I think about grace. I think about God doing something for me that I could not do for myself. And that's what grace is all about. You know, I'm so happy we sing a song. You know, I'm glad. I believe Mahalia Jackson wrote this song years ago. And the lyrics of the song says, you know, I'm glad that man didn't create me, because if man created me, he would, you know, get angry at any moment and snatch my life away or, you know, or anything of that nature. But because we know that God made us and God created us, and his grace that he has shed abroad on our hearts allows us the opportunity to not only to receive forgiveness and of our sins, but then so that we can in turn give our lives back to him and be of service to him. That's a wonderful opportunity. But also when I think about bless, I think about it being the root word of blessed that we read about in the Beatitudes, you know, blessed are the pure in spirit. And that word blessed, I believe in the New Testament from the Greek makarios, which means happy. Okay. So is he saying, God, bless me, give me supernatural favor, but also make me holy and make me happy? You know, I think holiness and happiness should go hand in hand. I don't know about you, but ever since God cleaned me up and made me holy, I've been happy. My life has been filled with joy that springs from the inside, something that is not based on what's happening on the outside. People that know my story know that I came from a very troubled background, a home that was going through a lot of challenges and I left my home in upstate New York, moved to Meridian, Mississippi with my grandmother. And there I found peace. But also it was there that my grandmother told me, she said, if you're going to live in this house, boy, you're going to go to church. And, you know, I was not a regular churchgoer. And so I had a relative of mine who was going to the Church of the Nazarene, and he invited me to go. And I thank God, because it was there when I went to that Church of the Nazarene under the ministry of Dr. Charles Johnson that I, you know, that I met Jesus. And my life was changed, and all of the hurt and the pain and all of the dysfunction from my family that I grew up with in upstate New York, all of that seemed to be as if it never happened when I found the Lord. God changed me totally. And so when I think about all that you would bless me, I think about how God has blessed me, how he has made me happy, how he has made me pure, how he has given me joy unspeakable and full of glory. But also another word when I say, you know, sanctify me, but the next term I use is stretch. He said, enlarge my territory, stretch me. You know, anytime that you're stretched, I found out over the years, it's a painful process, because when you're asking God to make me bigger, to make me better, stretching is not comfortable. Sometimes, you know, I find that in order for me to be stretched, I have to deal with things that I don't want to deal with. I have to interact with people that I may not want to interact with. God has certainly stretched me in terms of how I view people and how I view the community and the world. You know, even though I came from a dysfunctional family, I tell people I came from a very middle class family. My upbringing was very blue collar. Both of my parents worked in factory jobs. We had a good living in terms of, you know, where we lived and the schooling that I was able to go to and so forth. But there was a lot of, you know, infighting and so forth in the house. My parents both were divorced and they didn't get along well. You know, so for me to come, for God to call me to a neighborhood such as this, even my second pastor in Memphis, Tennessee, when I went to the interview and I went to the church and they drove me around the neighborhood, one block over, there were the projects. There were projects on both sides of our church. And one block over on the day that I interviewed, I looked and this is the first time that I saw women of the night walking the street, and it wasn't night. And I was thinking, man, this is a really rough neighborhood. But then God spoke in my spirit. This is where I want you. This is where I want you. And so many of our churches look to get out of places like that. But God was calling me to go into a place like that. And it was to make a difference. God was stretching me even then, because I could not have, you know, up until then, I would not have envisioned myself going to a place such as that. But after being there a year or two, I know why God called me there. One morning we had some young ladies, girls that came into our Sunday school class. My wife was teaching the children's class, and the girls just kept falling asleep. And my wife kept trying to wake them. And she said, well, what's wrong? You know, and the kids said, we couldn't sleep last night. It was shooting all night long outside of our window, and we were afraid we were going to get killed. And at that moment, my heart and her heart went out for them, that here are these children that are fearful of going to sleep, fearful that they're going to lose their life. You know, you talk about being stretched. Even though I came up in a home that we had problems, I was never fearful of being shot, you know, while I was in bed, because it was shooting outside of my house. You know, you always think that you have it tough until you see somebody that has it a little bit tougher, you know. The man that had no shoes went around whining until he saw the man that had no feet. You know, that was the case. I saw folks that had no feet. You know, I'm crying about not having shoes and they had no feet. So I thank God. God was stretching me. God was helping me to be better and to be different than what I was. And it changed my entire worldview. Was it pain involved? Yes. I dealt with some people that were just so dysfunctional, so out of the mainstream. people who had not finished school, living on welfare, you know, the deplorable conditions. And to go in there and to work with that population of people, it really stretched me for the better. And it changed me because I thought, you know, Lord, you know, why did you call me here? And I just know God spoke to me. Jesus died. These are the people that I died for. He didn't come to call the righteous. He came to call the sinners to repentance. God was stretching me. And, you know, I think of the words I quoted Nelson Mandela, I think, in my sermon on Sunday. He said, it's what we make out of what we have been given, not what we are given, that separates one person from another. In other words, it's what you make out of what you've been given, not what you've been given. You know, some people who start off in life and some come in and, they, you know, they're born into homes that have a lot. Some come into homes where they have nothing at all. What do you make out of it? You know, and those people that God blessed us to be able to minister to, it was just, it was a time in my life of growth. It was the greatest challenge in my life, but it was the greatest growth that I've experienced in my Christian life and in my Christian walk. I was challenged in many ways, but it was a good challenge. I was tested on every front, but you know, thank God for that test. And I believe I passed the test. And I like to tell my folks, listen, faith that has not been tested cannot be trusted. You got to be tested in order to be trusted. And I thank God my faith was tested, but I tell you what, I hope I'm trustworthy. So God stretched me. So, you know, all that you would bless me, that you would stretch me, enlarge my territory. And finally, my last point was shield me, shield me. He said, keep me from harm that I might be free from pain. Jabez is asking God to cover him and to shield him. Oh, I think about the words of the psalmist David when he said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God in whom I take refuge, in the 18th Psalm. And in the 23rd Psalm, one of my favorites, you know, he said, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. And then again, in the 63rd Psalm, David says, because you are my help, I will sing in the shadow of your wings. I will cling to you, and your right hand upholds me. Every day I take consolation in the fact that I know that God is with me. Many times I have my trustees that say, Pastor, don't stay over to the church too late. We know you like to be over there. I'm praying, I'm reading, I'm studying. And they said, you know, the neighborhood is tough. We don't want anything to happen to you. I just pray God to protect me, to shield me, to cover me. You know, anytime you want to do great things for God, the enemy is always going to be at work. But, you know, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. You know, wherever he guides, he provides. And I thank God for his provision. You know, so many times God has shielded me. God has protected me. Even when I, in foolishness, I was in situations that, you know, looking back, I would not have done. I think of a situation where I intervened. And this has been some years ago. I was probably about 25, 26 in my first church. And I was ministering to a family. They were had problems with drug abuse and so forth. And they had started coming to church. We had won them and they were coming to church. Had not been delivered, but they were coming. One night I got a call from the woman. They were cohabitating and she called and asked me to come over immediately. They were at odds with one another. And I walked in that house, I'll never forget. And the gentleman, he had a pistol in his hand. And he had that pistol and he was chasing her around the house. He says, I'm going to shoot you. And when I walked in the house, she ran behind me. I'll never forget it. And she stood behind me. And here he is with his pistol. And he's trying to aim it at her. And she's behind me. And she's ducking. And while she's ducking, I'm ducking, you know, because he has that gun. And thank God I was able to talk him down, to take the gun out of his hand. I later learned that not only had he taken cocaine, but he had been drinking vodka or rum, some other drink. And so, he very well could have shot me and really, not even remembered it. But by the grace of God, he brought me out of that situation. And later on, that same gentleman who came and stood at our altar, gave his heart to the Lord and thanked me in front of the congregation. They don't know. I went through a lot with him. This was a couple of years after that event. He actually ended up going to jail, prison for a couple of years. He signed over all his accounts to me. He said, "Would you, you're the only one I can trust." So every dime he owned, he signed over to me, and I had it in a bank account for him. I kept it in there for a couple of years. He got out of the prison. I gave him his money. And he came to church. He thanked me. And he was a good church member up until, he relocated to another city. But when I say shield me, keep me from evil, God has shielded me in the midst of trying times and trying ministries and difficult assignments. He's been with me. And I have many other anecdotals I could share with you. I wouldn't bore you with them, but that's just one that sticks in my mind. And but that last verse that I shared with you from Jabez, and he said, "And God granted his request." God granted his request. We don't read anything else in the Bible about Jabez, but these small little snippets that we have here. He was more honorable than his brothers. He asked God to bless him, to keep him, to protect him, to cover him. And God granted his request. And I just believe, I'm crazy enough to believe that if he did it for Jabez, he's still in the blessing business today. He can do it for you, and he can do it for me. I thank God for that. That's really all I want to share today. I appreciate you taking time to listen to me. I hope that I've said something that maybe has resonated with you. I just wanted to give you a glimpse out of, maybe some events in my life and how God has helped me and shaped me. And going back to what you said, Dr. Sherwood, I graduated at the age of 20, went to my first assignment. We planted a church 13 and a half years, moved from there to Memphis, 7.5 years from Memphis to Virginia, and we've been here now 21 years, and I am now the ripe old age of 62. I was in NBC at 17, but I tell you, I would not trade one day. If I could go back and do it over again, I would do it the exact same way, because my years at NBC is what has prepared me. Those 3 years there is what prepared me for a lifetime of service. And I thank God. And that was the beginning of my educational journey. As you know, I went on to Indiana University, DePaul State University, University of Memphis. And the foundation was laid there at NBC. And I can almost still hear T. Crichton Mitchell and Floyd Perkins and all my professors that were so near and dear to me, Dr. Oak, Norman Oak, Arnold Earhart. I thank God for the days at NBC. God bless you.